If you have a Bible, let's turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Just one verse. Just one verse. Genesis 18, verse 19. Father, I pray that you just anoint me right now. I hide behind the cross. Anoint me right now. Anoint your people to have the power to understand and the willingness to obey the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Genesis 18, 19. Chapter 18, verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Okay, the title of my message this morning is The Lordship of Christ in the Home. The Lordship of Christ in the Home. You know, my second grandchild, Noah, has just turned 1 year old. And Pastor Lily and I were given the task to take care of him for 10 days while Jen and Daryl go for a safari tour in South Africa. I don't know why they got such a guts, you know, to do that. And I remember in one of the second night when we were doing a video call, okay, with Noah inside. And when Noah saw their picture, he was just, he was really not very stable, very insecure already. But when he heard the voice of his mommy say, "Hello, Noah, how are you?" He burst out crying, and I can see the tears in Mimi's eyes, and Daryl's was very sad. And we said, "Let's close the Facebook immediately, very fast, okay?" But we were given the task. Okay, I don't know why they got such guts to just pass the child to us. Maybe, I think Jen really wanted Noah to grow up knowing God and also wanted Pastor Lily to love Noah as much as Elise. Am I correct? Yeah. So we were given the task to take care of Noah for 10 days in her home. We stayed in Jen's home. Okay, we stayed in the master bedroom. During that 10 days, Pastor Lily wanted to introduce Christ and inculcate some Christian truth, some Christian method into Noah's life, though young as he is. Okay, never stop training your child even though they are just so young. She wanted. So one of the actions that Pastor Lily constantly do in front of Noah, and I was there, is she would ask Noah, "Noah, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?" Then Pastor Lily will put her hand on the chest and say, "In my heart." And I will follow Pastor Lily. I'll say, "In my heart." And every time when we are with Noah, Pastor Lily will say, "Hello, Noah, where is Jesus?" Then Pastor Lily will say, "In my heart." And I'll also say, "In my heart." So after a few repeated actions, after a few days, Noah did something. Okay, he would did something. He would say, "Noah, where is Jesus?" And having watched us for so many times, finally he lifted up his hand. He was carried by the yaya. Okay, he was carried by the yaya. He lifted up his hands and he put his hand on the chest of the yaya. Not on his head, on the chest of the yaya. Okay, we laugh, and I think Daryl or somebody say he did that because Jesus is not in his heart, but Jesus, because he's not born again, and so he tapped his yaya's heart because his yaya is born again. But we did succeed in another gesture. Okay, every time we will have meal together with Noah, okay, at Noah's house, you will be sitting on this elevated seat. Then Pastor Lily will say, "Noah," and the yaya will be beside. We'll say, "Let's pray." And Pastor Lily will grab his hand. "Dear Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for the food." And Pastor Lily will say, "Amen." She will do that. "Thank you, Jesus, for the food." And Pastor Lily will say, "Amen." He watched it. And finally, Noah also see the repeated action. Then one day, you know what he did? He just put, we just raised it. Pastor Lee said, "Let's pray for the food." He would just put his hand and grab his hand and bow his head. And he laughed. No amen. Pastor Lee said he didn't say amen because he went to a church where nobody lifted up their hands. But on the final day when we were there, in a restaurant, a very good restaurant, okay, a very expensive restaurant, we brought the whole family, including the yayas, and Noah was seated there. And Pastor Lily said, Noah, pray for the food. Then Noah would just put his hand there and look at everybody and laugh. Because this time his mommy and daddy was there. You know, the title of my sharing this morning is The Lordship of Christ in the Home. As Christian parents, especially those of you who are in your 20s and 30s, you need to be awakened to the fact that we face tremendous opposition, very evil opposition. There are many evil forces leveled against us as they seek to control and undo all the goods that we have done to our kids. One of the reasons why it took Joy 10 years to finally decide to have a child was because she was so afraid of the indoctrination of the people of the world upon her son or her daughter. She was very afraid that her children would turn LGBT. One of your parents told us that your child at the age of 10 or 11 already have lesbian showing interest in your daughter. So this is the world we live in. Another thing that is upon the world is people love to put tattoo. And God said, you're not allowed to put any mark on your body. I want to tell you something. You are not allowed to put any mark on your body. You know, we were talking to the elders. You don't do things that is against God. We were talking about when we have communion together. And this lady, she had communion in her own home because she was taught by her pastor to have communion in her own home. Individually. Okay, if the one day the world has become, you cannot go to church anymore because of the Antichrist purge of the church. Okay, when you are in your family hiding from the Antichrist, you have communion together as a family, hiding in this cell. It's correct. It's all right. But right now there's a church and we are supposed to come together to have communion together. Okay, then you serve communion, you go to your own home and you have your own communion together. And this lady, she did that. And the one of the time I heard that when she did that, she saw some evil mark upon her, lighting upon her legs, writings upon her legs. You know, you don't do things that is antichrist, that is wrong. Okay, so these are some of the indoctrination of the people of the world upon our children. Okay, this is just some of the aspect of the indoctrination of the world. And there are many, many wicked forces leveled against our children. And because of this, we need to be very proactive. I say again, proactive. We need to be very intentional. We need to be very militant even. Training your children to follow the scriptures in all things. You need to. I just want to tell you, you need to. We must be much in prayer for them. My children are grown up. We cannot discipline them anymore. We pray for them. Because the world will turn worse and worse. As the time goes on. And you will be in worse trouble. Right now, if you cannot do it, when things are fine, the world is fine, you can come to church, you will be in worse trouble. During the time of Antichrist, if you do not bring the Lordship of Christ in the home in their early age. It is already advised by psychologists and people, they are very good with children. They say that you have to nurture your children, train your children before the age of 13, because after the age of 13, the mold is already formed. It's very difficult to change them, and they are already formed. So you have to nurture them, you have to train them, you have to teach them before the age of 13. You have to be firm in your training. You have to be firm in your training. I remember in the early years when we were very strict with our church, one of the girls here said to the mommy, "Why didn't you discipline me when I was young?" She said that, "Why didn't you discipline me when I was young?" They will blame you. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hate his son." You don't love your son. You hate your son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Betimes means a number of frequently. Chasten means discipline. Modern translation is trying to tell you that, okay, if you read this verse in modern translation, it's saying that loving parents must be diligent in discipline. In discipline. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drive it far from him. Another translation says, folly is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Folly or foolishness doesn't mean childish silliness like the Noah, Elise. Childish silliness. It's not childish silliness. It refers to moral foolishness, selfishness, and rebellion against what is right. The Bible teaches us that this is part of the fallen human nature. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They are selfish because of the fallen nature. Even children resist authority. They always act selfishly and they lack wisdom. They don't have wisdom. Elise is 3 years old plus. 3 years old plus. And she's changing rapidly, very fast. This time she's so different from the time when we were back. And Joy and Jen learn from Pastor Lily. I tell you, when Noah is naughty, Jen, they learn from Pastor Lily. They use the rod. You know, recently because of Joy, have to take care of Louis. Louis is around 1 or 2 months old, so she assigned the task to Ben to take care of Louis. Sorry, take care of Elise, and Ben spoiled. Elise, really spoiled Elise. And Elise climbed over Ben. So there was one day, just last week, last Monday, Ben has to fetch Elise to school. He has to turn back his vehicle back to home because Elise threw her tantrum inside the car and doesn't want to go to school. And Ben cannot do anything. Elise bullies Ben. When they reach home, Joy took out the balloon stick and whipped Elise until her leg has lines. Of course, Elise cried. And then Joy will apply ointment on the leg. It's painful on her. But you know, the best part of this whole story, Joy make Elise go back to school that day. I said that is the best part of training. Let me tell you, Elise learned well. Does Elise hate her mommy? No. I want to tell you, no. I would dare to say that the person Elise loved the most is the mommy, Joy. When she had a fall, when she's sick, the first person she cried for is her mommy. Why? Because children can tell whether you really love them or not, despite the discipline. So do not be afraid to discipline your children. This morning, I want to share with you the idea that the greatest thing that you can do for your children, I know you love your children, but I want to tell you that I tell you, Joy love Elise and Louis. Pastor Lily and me, we love Elise, Noah and Louis. We love them. You love your children. I want to tell you the greatest thing that you can do for your children. And that is found when God said to Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, and that then the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which God had spoken to him. Genesis chapter 18 verse 19 is a very powerful statement where God explained why he chose Abraham and why God chose us. Let's break it down. Number one, God's sovereign choice. God is speaking to Abraham when he said, "For I know him, for I know Abraham, for I know Abraham." This shows that Abraham's role wasn't accidental. Your role is not accidental. God intentionally chose Abraham, and God intentionally chose you for a purpose. Out of the 8 billion people in this world, God intentionally chose you. You are chosen by God for a purpose. God's calling is never random. It's not a mistake. It's not like you play card and it's not by lot. Okay, God throw the lot and say, okay, all the 8 billion people, I just close my eyes. God say, I just speak one person. Oh, Lily Ang. No, it's not that. It has never been like that. The fact that you are in this church right now shows that God's role, your role is not accidental. God intentionally chose you for a purpose. But it comes with a responsibility. The key word in this verse is know. For I know. God knows all things. God has a plan. God knows you. God has a plan and a purpose in which He wants to fulfill through you, through Abraham. How do I know? Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went." The key phrase here is, when Abraham was called, he obeyed. God called you. God chose you. You know, some of you live haphazardly concerning your life. But the truth of the matter is, God called you and God chose you. And God asked you to be faithful to bring the Lordship of Christ into the home. You are God's sovereign choice. Number one, you are God's sovereign choice. Number two, that He may command His children. Abraham was chosen not for personal blessing only. You are chosen not for personal blessing only, but for spiritual leadership in the family. I'm not chosen for personal blessing only. I'm chosen for spiritual leadership for my family, spiritual leadership for this church. God expects the same from you. Command. The word command, God, I command you, does not mean harsh control. I'm not asking you to be very cruel in your correction of your children. It does not mean harsh control, but it means intentional. That means you really intend to guide. Intentional guidance, teaching, and example. Faith is not meant to be passed down. Sorry, faith is meant to be passed down, not kept private. Faith is to be passed down to your children, passed down to your children. Now we are passing our faith to our grandchildren. Faith is not to be kept private, it's to be passed down. Abraham passed down his faith to his children and commanded his children. And God expects the same thing from you. Number three, to keep the way of the Lord. For I know him that he will keep the way of the Lord. The phrase refers to a lifestyle. The way of the Lord, a lifestyle. Not just belief. Covenant relationship with God is a character lifestyle. A lifestyle is how you live every day. Not just saying, I believe in God. No, no. A lifestyle is how you live every day. A lifestyle is a consistent habit, a daily choice, and your normal way of living. A lifestyle, that's a lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? Keeping the way of the Lord is a lifestyle. It is not something you do on Sunday. It's not something you do on occasional good deeds. It's not something you do even on moments of spiritual exaltation, spiritual emotion. It's not done during those moments. God is not looking at Abraham and have you have sporadic obedience. No. He wanted a pattern of life for you. He wanted you to have a pattern, a lifestyle. For Abraham and for our children and for our children's children, it meant three things. What are three things? It's here. Daily obedience. For I know he will keep the way of the Lord. Daily obedience. God knew that the man, Abraham or you, who obeyed from the start would teach your children to obey. Can God safely say this about you? No, you give birth to your children, right? Your responsibility. If not, you don't give birth. See, Joy doesn't want to have a child. But when she gave birth, she was committed to the two children. You have to be responsible, right? You cannot say, oh, that is irresponsibility. You just leave the child and you just go and do your own thing and let the child suffer. God knew that the man who obeyed from the start would teach his children to obey. Can God safely say this about you? That he knew you who obeyed him would teach your children to obey. The greatest thing that we can do for our children, you know, the greatest thing that we can do for our children is to teach them to obey us as parents promptly, cheerfully, and always, not being sullen about it, but being diligent. We must teach this them until they deeply believe and are thoroughly convinced that they must accept the discipline of an ordered way of life, of an ordered lifestyle. To be truly free, you must learn always to obey. The children must learn always to obey. I do not believe there is anything greater you can do for your children than to get the lesson true to their mind, true to their heart, that until it's a deep, unshakable, lifelong conviction with them, and that is to obey an ordered lifestyle. You say, Pastor, why are you like that? Why is obedience so important? Obedience is a basic, crucial, and it goes back to the very beginning. How did we get into all the trouble until today? Because of one act of disobedience. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Just one disobedience get us all into so much trouble. Let's get back to the example of Elise. If Elise could get away from going to school that day, in her mind, she would say, hey, if I throw a tantrum, I can have my way. And she'll be doing that again and again and again. I really respect Joy because I know that she has taught Elise a very important lesson. That night after the caning, she came back to school. Was she angry with Joy? No. She saw her little brother, Louis. She would run to him and say, hello, Louis. And she would just sleep beside Louis. But she learned. She learned. In the Garden of Eden, our disobedience against God brought all the misery upon the fallen man. Now the Christ-centric link. Where Abraham was called to walk in the ways of God, Jesus perfectly fulfilled it. He obeyed the Father completely, even to suffering to death. Philippians 2:8 says, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus did not just teach obedience, he embodied obedience. And because of this obedience by all of us, Jesus obeyed on our behalf. See, because of this obedience, Jesus obeyed on our behalf. See, God needs a man to obey. And Jesus was that person that's why Jesus has to become man. That's why all other religion cannot help you at all. Because nobody paid for your sin. Only one person paid for your sin, and that is Jesus. This is crucial. Jesus succeeded where we failed. And when God looked at you, he looked at Jesus' obedience. His obedience led him to the cross. And when he was resurrected, his obedience was counted as righteousness. When God looked at you, he looked at Jesus, he counted it as righteousness. Pleasing to him. Today we stand before God because of Christ's obedience, not ours. And not just that, Christ empowers our obedience. We are not left to be on our own, to obey on our own strength. Jesus gave us a new heart. The Holy Spirit came and teach us to live differently, give us the power to obey. And our obedience reflect Christ. See, the world are different. When you are different from the world, you reflect Christ. We show Jesus' character through our action. Our obedience become a living testimony of Jesus. Okay, keep the ways of the Lord, be righteousness. That I know him, that he will keep the ways of the Lord to do justice. To do justice is righteousness. God knew that Abraham and his children would display righteousness before him. Righteousness before God means being right in God's sight, accepted, aligned by his standard and pleasing to him. Okay, the Bible shows two dimensions of being right with God. Okay, a position dimension and a lifestyle dimension. Before anything we do, righteousness is something that God gives, not something we achieve. We can never achieve righteousness. That's why Jesus achieved the righteousness for us when he died on the cross of Calvary. When God looked at man, he looked at Jesus. He said, hey, man obeyed. Man achieved righteousness because of Jesus. This is seen in Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. You just believe, and you are righteous. You know, Pastor Lily's sister is a very difficult lady to live with. Honestly, I don't like her in the very beginning. I think she's one of the hardest person to ever accept Christ. But during that 1 month before her death, she believed God. She believed the God of Pastor Lily. And God counted it as righteousness. Did she live that lifestyle? She doesn't have the chance to live the lifestyle because she was dying. God says, oh, because you believe, I count it. As many as believe as receive him, to them gave him power to become the children of God. Son of God. Believe. Just believe. Just believe. I know that Pastor Lily's sister is in heaven. No matter how unlovable she was, because she was declared right with God because she believed. By faith, not in perfect behavior. This is position righteousness. That's the first dimension. How about the second dimension? The second dimension is, okay, when I'm still alive. You believe God, then you are still alive. This is where the second dimension comes in. Once I'm made right with God, it begins to show in how I live. That's the second dimension. Doing righteousness. This includes integrity. You must be honest, upright in your living. Purity, turn from sin. Obedience, following God's way. The key difference before is that you are righteous because of Christ. Now, the second dimension is that you live righteousness. You practice righteousness through your action. So we are all alive today, right? Alive. You have to put into practice the second dimension. What is the second dimension? Integrity. Live a life of integrity. Honest, upright living. Live a life of purity, turning away from sin. Live a life of obedience, following God's way. Okay, then the third one is justice. For I know him that he will keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The word judgment is justice. To do judgment is justice. What is judgment? What is justice? Judgment in the Bible means doing what is fair and right in how you treat other people, in line with God's character. If righteousness is about being right before God, judgment is about acting right towards people. Biblical judgment is fairness. Treating people without bias. Protection. Protection. Defending the weak and vulnerable. Protecting the people. Yeah, that is judgment. You know, there was a man when I was in Quezon in our church. We found that he molested his daughter. And Pastor Lily was very angry. And I go to the police and say, if you do it, I bring you to police. I make sure you go to jail. That's protecting. Protecting, defending the weak and vulnerable. During the recent elder board meeting, which is just 2 days ago, Friday, Pastor Lily was very vehement and insistent that we have to protect those people that have been molested. Those people that have been victimized, especially if both of them are in the same church. He said, if you don't follow this principle, you are no different from the people of this world. Just close a blind eye, never mind, just pretend. But you know how much the girl or the boy suffered. That is doing judgment. Defending the weak and vulnerable. Restoration, making wrong things right. Integrity, refusing corruption or oppression. And all these actions are not passive, they are active action. And God knew that Abraham will teach his children these three things. Keep the way of the Lord, the obedience, righteousness, and justice. Number four, our example. I think this is one of the hardest sermons to follow. Let's be very honest. Why? Because all of you love your children. Now, I go to the mall once in a while and I always see, I tell you, this boy, there is a toddler, 1 year plus, he wanted the candy. And the mommy doesn't want him to give him the candy because maybe there's no money or whatever. He will just sit on the floor and cry and cry and cry, and the mommy will just walk away. I tell you, when Joy was like that, I just one turn. From that day onwards, she stopped. I know you love your children. I love my children, okay? You cannot deny the fact that I love my children. You cannot deny the fact that I love my grandchildren. I know that you love your children. You let them have their way. You know, Noah is very, very smart. He used crying to have his way. He wants the Yaya to carry him. Always. And if the Yaya is going to take a bath, he will cry. And even though we take care of him, he will cry. He will cry and scream until the Yaya got to carry him. He's very, very smart. Our children are like that. They see your action. Once you do that, oh, if I cry, you will carry me. Recently, Noah saw Jen. Jen loves Jollibee. Until today, she still eats Jollibee in Singapore. So Jen was eating this piece of Jollibee and she took a slat, a little thing, and just give it to Noah. And Noah eat. He wants some more. And the mommy doesn't want to give. He cried. Until Jen feed, until he finished the whole chicken drumstick. We laugh over it. Because they are young. But over time, a mold is formed. Once the mold is formed, character turns for the worse. Many gruesome crimes in this country are committed because of failures of parents. On July 16, 1997, two sisters, Mary Joy and Jacqueline Cheong, were adopted in Cebu City while they were waiting for a jeepney ride. They were allegedly adopted by a group of men. Days later, a body was found. Mary Joy was found in a ravine in Kaka, Cebu. The other sister, until today, her body can never be found. The case involved kidnapping, rape, murder. Later, seven men were accused. At the time of the crime in 1997, these seven men convicted were all young people. Mostly teens in their early 20s. The prime suspect was Francisco Larangani, 19 years old. And the oldest was Richard Flores, 22 years old only. If you want to destroy the future of your children, do not have the Lordship of Christ in the home. Why did the seven adolescents behave that way? Because they always have their ways. They always have their ways. What about Jesus? Jesus' earthly father was Joseph, but he too knew that his real father was the heavenly father. Jesus, as a boy at 12 years old, said, "I must be about my father's business." What he meant is that I must do what my father wants me to do. Your children must do what you want. They want you to do. You want them to do, rather. All through life, he could say, "I always do those things that pleases him." It was a life of perfect obedience. No, in our youth, we have trouble over the matter. I tell you, we have trouble. Actually, the discipline should be done by the family. And the church got to come in. We have trouble over the matter of obeying our parents. And parents, we have trouble teaching our children to obey. Some parents learn that they cannot make their children obey except by cruel disobedience. That is wrong. I'm not talking about cruel. I'm not thinking you take a big log and just hit your child wrong. That is wrong, okay? I'm not for that at all. So we have difficulties as parents. Yes, I understand you have difficulties as parents. Okay? The children also have difficulties because they have the fallen human nature. No, to be honest with our children, they left us when they were 13 and 15 years old, which was the most crucial period, but we already formed the mold. We really, Pastor Lily brought the Lordship of Christ into the home, though not perfect as it is. We are not perfect, but we try. Look at the 7 young people who cruelly abducted, raped and killed the 2 innocent girls. If you do not teach your children obedience, what is the use of providing a nice house, a good education, and other advantage for them to succeed in life? These 7 young people have houses that is much, 100 times better than yours. Let me tell you now, 100 times better than yours. They have the best education in Cebu City. They have all the advantages to succeed in life. But what is the use? What is the use of raising children? They are so healthy and beautiful in the world, only to be lost eternally. What is the use of the few fleeting years of beauty, good looks, good health, only to die in unbelief and separate from God eternally? Lastly, number 5, God's promise. You know, one thing about God is that He gave you something, He gave you a commandment, there's always a promise. God's commands brings about a promise or blessing, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what God has promised him. This phrase is very, very rich. Very, very rich. You want to talk about your life, okay? I want good health. I want God's blessing upon my children. He connects God's promise with your way of life or Abraham's way of life. Let's unpack it. God already made major promises to Abraham, and He will make the same promises to you. A great nation, many descendants, a land, Canaan, blessing to all through Him. You know, Pastor Lily and me, we were shocked, we were literally shocked that Jen has a boy. Okay, I'm not, okay, to me, boy is like firstborn, okay, it's a blessing, it's really a blessing. But we couldn't really believe that God will give a boy into our family because they're all girls. I'm always surrounded by all girls until Noah comes. Am I correct? Pastor Lily, Joy, Jen, Elise. So when Noah come, it was a shock. It's like, I'm going to bless you. This is what God was saying. I'm going to bless you. And then later Louis come, another boy. I'm going to bless you. Blessing to all through him. The phrase, so that, shows a connection. Obedience is a pathway. The promise is by grace. But obedience is a path through which the promise unfolds. You say, how does this apply to us? Okay, let's look at Genesis 18:19. It's very, very practical. It's a very practical thing. It teaches God's promise and our daily life connect. Just like Abraham, you do not earn God's promise, but you walk in them. Okay? Your obedience positions you to experience God's promise. Not only that, your life affects the next generation. The emphasis that is that His children and His household, your faith is not personal. It shapes your family, your children, and all those around Him. What model they follow, what they prioritize, they absorb. They absorb what you follow, what you prioritize, what you teach. They absorb your lifestyle. We laugh at the children's behavior. Many of their behaviors is they watch you. So they demonstrate the behavior that you did. They demonstrate the action that you did. Recently, Elise, one of the changes of Elise, is that she will say, her eyes, her head was just, see, what happened? Why like that? Then, Joy, maybe say it's Joy, but I say, no, Joy, I don't see Joy like that. Then, Joy say, actually, it is Ben. That 2 months. The 2 months that Ben took care of Elise. And she saw the action. She saw the action of Ben. And when she talked, why like that? Why so difficult? So they are what they are. By watching you. By watching you, I'm telling you. You are responsible. I'm telling you, you are responsible. There are times I have to apologize to Joy. I'm telling you. I was very strict to her on her concerning her boyfriend when she was here. I burst balloons that was given on Valentine's Day to her. Then I got to call her and say, sorry, Joy, I'm very wrong. They say, yeah, daddy, you do you know that somebody gave me this balloon, in Robinson in the city, and I saw the balloon, the Valentine. nobody watched. After the person left, I throw everything into the rubbish bin. Because I was so afraid that you'd be angry. But what you prioritize, they absorb. You know, when Joy and Jen went back to Singapore, my sister took care of them in the very beginning. My sister said this, that when Sunday comes, they automatically wake up and prepare to go to church. My sister said, I don't have to coax them. I don't have to persuade them. I don't have to say, please. I don't have to wake them up. They just know that it was time to go to church. Until today, they are still going to church. What you prioritize, they follow. God has promised that your family will grow and become numerous. God's ultimate plan was that through you and your offspring, others will be blessed. God's promise implies provision, guidance, protection as you walk in obedience. So how to apply? Say, Pastor, how do you apply it into our life? God's blessing today includes spiritual blessing. What is spiritual blessing? Forgiveness. It's so beautiful to be forgiven. You did something wrong. You tell that to a murderer. You tell that to a thief. You tell that to someone that have committed deep crime. You tell that to someone that have committed sin. And they, when they experience forgiveness, I tell you, it's so liberating. Spiritual blessing. Forgiveness, peace, hope, eternal life. Through Christ, we are made righteous with God. We can walk daily with Him and experience His presence. There is inner stability and satisfaction. This is what will happen to our life. There's peace in the home. Guidance and provision. God leading your steps daily life. You can rely on His promises and instruction to make decisions aligned with you. God provides for your need. God provides for your food. God provides for your shelter. God provides for your work. God provides for your health. I heard this testimony on the second service. This lady is very new through the community outreach. She attend church on that Sunday. Then somebody, while she was attending church, somebody said to her, hey, there's a fire in the community. And she said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to leave. She said, I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to hear the preacher preach, because if I walk out, I will get scolded. She didn't go. Then later in the service, the same person went to her and said, everything is okay now. The fire stopped just before your house. Just before your house. The fire did not burn your house. I want to tell you something. You think God doesn't know that you are attending church? I want to tell you that there are invisible hand, God's miracles is upon your life. You have to understand that truth. There is provision, there is protection. This does not mean giving you wealth, but sufficiency, faithfulness in daily life. Fruitfulness, fruitful relationship and influence. Family, church, community impact. Family, church, community impact. Blessing flows through family. Blessing flows through friend. Blessing flows through the community. Blessing flows through the church. Through us, our faith, obedience create a generational impact spiritually and morally. Joy and fulfillment in obedience. Walking in God's way brings blessing even in trials. Promise, guidance, care through trials. Dangers and challenges. There are trials, there are dangers, there are challenges. But God promises to go through with us. God's promise does not remove difficulties. But God brings His sustaining grace, His sustaining presence in your life. I conclude, God has amazing promises for those who bring the Lordship of Christ into the home. God's presence in the home. Generational blessing. Generational blessing. The righteous who walks in integrity, Proverbs 27, blessed are his children after him. The righteous, Ang Lechu Lili, who walks after the word of God, his children will be blessed after her. That's the meaning. Put your name there. Put your name there. Put your name there. Who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after you. It's not automatic perfection, but it brings strong influence across generation. Wisdom and direction. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord and you will make your path straight. Protection from destructive path. We live in this world. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. A strong foundation helps children return to the Lord even after they depart. I want you to remember this verse, okay? Remember this verse concerning your children. Jeremiah 31:17, and I want you to claim it. Claim it. There's hope for your future. Your children shall come back to their borders. I read again. There's hope for your future. Your children shall come back to their borders. Another translation, they will return from their enemy's border. Yes, there will be a time they are scattered, they are lost. But they are not lost forever. Because of the early teachings, God will bring that man home. Enemy's border represents God will bring them back home from sin, from rebellion, from spiritual drifting, from bondage of habits, from wrong influences. God will bring them back from the enemy's territory. God will bring them back. If you walk in the ways of God. So it's a very beautiful thing. It's really a very beautiful thing to have the Lordship of Christ in a home. Okay, Pastor Lily and I, we are not perfect. Okay, we are really not perfect. But I want to tell you something. We did try to bring the Lordship of Christ into the home. And I can see the blessing upon our life, upon this church, upon my children, upon my son-in-laws. Many of you, you are in much better position than your sisters, than your brothers, than from someone that you know. You are in a much better blessing. You have stability, you have the God's presence. Whereas the other side, there's chaos, there's disruption. Because of God. Because of God. Because of God. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, I know this is not a Singaporean concept, okay? This is not a Singaporean concept. This is the church, this is Christ's concept. And it's not too late. It's not too late. And if you say that, Pastor, please pray for me that I will teach my children in the ways of God. I will be firm in my training. I will not be cruel in my handling of my children. Then if the children is already 13 and above, simple. God, you help me to bring my children back from the enemy's border. You say, Pastor How, you pray. You pray for them daily. Then you still got to throw in truth concerning their life. You got to throw in principles, Bible scriptures to them once in a while when they ask you a question. That is obeying God. And if you want to do that, shall we all stand up? I want to invite you to come to the altar. As we sing before God. You want to make a commitment to bring the Lordship of Christ into the home? Shall we all stand up and I invite you to come to the altar as we sing.